Alright, so today is a huge day. Stuart has no idea what's about to happen. We already were thinking about getting him a tea time at the old course, but Colt had the idea last night. Hafer?
Colt and I are going to play out of the same bag. So maybe Stuart and maybe his dad can play together. Because neither have played the old course.
So, like late last night, I started texting Stuart's wife to make sure that Stuart's dad was able to play. So I texted Jack. He's like freaking. He said he's already shitting his pants. He found a set of clubs and he's going to meet us at the first tee at like 3 o'clock. And we're going to tee off at 3:10 and he has no idea.
That's pretty incredible.
I mean, it's funny because Stuart was like, I was like, what are you going to wear? He's like, well, I think I'm going to wear gray. I was going to wear pink, but I want to save that for like a big day. And I was like, why don't we both just wear pink?
It's big day. It's pink day.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes and with me is Andrew Martinez Grant, Steve Schreck, Jansen Mizrek. Guys, welcome back.
Great to be back, Andy. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the second podcast.
Good to be back.
The Instagram feed, you know, it's been blowing up with people since our last, you know, Going For It podcast was Half-Baked Ideas. People have been saying we need more Andrew, we need more Steve, and so we're here to give the people what they want. You got to give them what they want. And so we're doing kind of a new topic or new series, and it's like our last podcast based on another podcast called The Rewatchables. These guys get together and they talk about movies that are very rewatchable. And they go through, talk about the movie, talk maybe give out some awards about the movie itself. And so we're going to make our own like TGP's rewatchables, talking about golf-related videos. Our video of choice today is Eric Anders Lang's old course video called We Surprised Stuart Twice in St. Andrews. It's got quite a long title, but we'll make sure to link to it on our Instagram page so people can find it and watch it. If you have not watched it, I mean, if you're driving, I recommend pausing the podcast, pull over to the shoulder, you know, open up YouTube and watch this video. It's about 28 minutes, but it's definitely worth, you know, it's going to make your life a lot better.
Absolutely. It's worth stopping the car in the middle of the highway. Yeah. Well, I'm just kidding.
Bring some Kleenex, too, because, it's one of those videos that if you want to cry, you can probably watch that. But if you don't want to cry, then maybe not watch it.
It can evoke emotion.
Yeah. I have watched... This video came out probably a year ago, and I've watched it maybe 15 times. It's how much I enjoy it, how much it speaks to me. So I'm glad we get to, you know, share this moment together. Maybe we'll go through kind of a brief summary. It starts with Eric and like his photographer guy. They're talking about how they have this plan of they're going to play they got a tee time at the old course and they're going to, and their friend Stuart, who's from Scotland, has never played the old course, and they're going to have him, he gets to play the course. And so they're going to surprise him. And the additional surprise is that they organized for his dad to meet him on the first tee, to play together. So the two surprises are that first he gets to play the old course and second he gets to play the old course with his dad. They play at one course in the morning called Scott's Craig. Then they go to the Dunvegan Inn or pub, which is the coolest place ever. Andrew, have you been there?
I have not been inside. I know where it is, but I've never actually gone. I've walked past it. I've done the St. Andrews, done the Smoking Bridge, done the pictures, but never played the old course. I've never been inside that pub.
Ah, got it. One might say you've never done St. Andrews if you haven't been inside the pub. So you're going back this summer. Recommend it.
I am going back this summer. There will be a high possibility we will end up in one of the pubs, as the plan is we will play one of the courses probably the New or the Jubilee. It will be the pick for my trip.
Yeah, awesome. This place is, it's literally a 9-iron distance away from the 18th tee. They said they once they tested people hitting from outside the pub towards the old course, and you can get there with a 9-iron. But every famous golfer, celebrity who's ever in St. Andrews, like, would come to this place during the open week. So the walls and ceiling have pictures of, you know, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Ricky Fowler, George Bush, Steph Curry, you name it, they've been there. It was a really cool place that feels like a lot of history. So they're there for lunch, and they meet this guy named Rob, who they've met through Instagram, and he kind of explains to them that he's got a tee time, and Stewart gets to play the old course, and that's where he first starts crying. Pretty good moment. Then they walk down to the tee, and then Stewart's like, I gotta go to the bathroom, so he walks over there, and then he sees his dad, and he's like, what are you doing here? And they hug and start crying, and then they go play the old course, and it's really magical. You guys have any initial impressions?
The double whammy, double surprise of one fulfilling a dream to play at the home of golf is a great surprise in itself, and a pretty special thing for some of your best buds to do for you. And then to be able to share that with your dad. I mean, prepping for this podcast for kind of the idea about it. Just saying, there's just something about dads and golf, like, is something special that maybe we might not be able to articulate as well as we would like to today, but I think we all know that there's just something about sharing a round of golf with your old man that's pretty cool. So that was just kind of my overarching. It was just like, wow, like, I just think it makes me think back to all the memories of golfing with my dad and my bros.
Yeah, I second all of that. I've watched it a couple times in the last, 6 months or whatever, but I always just remember the embrace with his dad just outside the clubhouse. Like, I don't want to say, like, I was kind of joking earlier when it made me cry, like, but it's like very, it brings like happiness, right? And like to see like what that meant to him, was just, I don't know, it was really cool. You got to watch the video if you haven't to kind of see what I'm saying, but, yeah, just that embrace was really awesome.
Yeah, I think it's one of the video does one of the best thing or the best jobs of capturing like why we love golf and what makes it so special. And it, you know, doesn't necessarily put it into words, but it shows you and like captures this feeling that you can't always put into words. You know, like if you ask people why they play golf, they really have horrible reasons. Like I like the challenge of it or something. You know, not that. Actually, I think that's a bad reason. Like, if you like a challenge, you can go, you know, play Sudoku or something else. But there's a reason that we don't do that. There's a reason we, you know, you spend money and you spend your time and do all this. And it has to do with something about history and family and all of these different things that golf captures something that almost nothing else can. So I have a few categories to talk about as we go through this movie. The first is the best moment or the best scene. And I mean, it's Oscars week. Okay. So we got the nominees. The nominees are first the Dunvegan in when they're eating lunch and he finds out he's playing for the first time. The second is when they're walking. So they have this whole group of people, like 5 or 6 people, and they don't know how many of them will get to play. And they're like walking towards the first hole in this like R&B beat starts, you know, going in the background, and they find out they all can play. Like this guy Ron from Phoenix has 3 spots for the rest of them. They're pretty excited. So that's nominee number 2. Number 3, of course, is the "What are you doing here?" Scene, the embrace Steve was talking about earlier. And then I'm going to go last nominee is, I think this would be my pick, is at the end they're standing on the road hole, and Eric like looks out over the town of St. Andrews, the sun is setting, the town looks beautiful. He's like pans the camera back over his friends, and that like music starts at like "Where Are You, My Brother" song starts to play.
That one's definitely my favorite. I was hoping that was going to be a nomination. Otherwise, I was going to add it to the ballot because the thing that got me with that scene is the sunset in the evening, and it's like the perfect light on St. Andrews and in the 18th fairway. And really one fairway, you can just see all the all the mounds and the moguls, just defined by that kind of the golden hour light. And so I think that was just, that was gorgeous. And then his dad hits like this ridiculous flop shot from the road.
From the road, yeah.
Like from the road up onto the green. And I think Eric got up and down from the famous pop bunker as well. So it's just like they played really cool. There were some highlights on that hole around the green. And then just to see that light in the golden hour was, I thought that was fantastic.
I'm still sticking with the clubhouse scene, but I will add too on that hole, the 17th. I thought the tee shot kind of experience was funny to watch and cool to watch, just because like you imagine hitting that shot like your entire life, right? I think anybody does. I don't know.
The shot over the Old Course Hotel.
Right, yeah. Exactly, the tee shot. And like he, like you could tell like so much weight was on his, like he was just thinking so much about it and he was in his own head. And that's exactly how I would be, especially because my miss is way right.
Yeah, you'd be in the hotel.
I'd be in the hotel. Yeah, and he totally did that. He hit it way right. He was like, is that out? And the guy who was playing was like, oh, yeah, definitely. and then he re-hit. But I thought that whole scene was pretty fun.
Yeah. Andrew, do you have a vote?
Yeah, I like the one on the end, like when they're looking up 17. I think that just kind of, for me, it brings back, like, obviously being in Scotland, like, the idea of they teed off at, like, just after 3, about 10 past 3, and they were on 17. Obviously, it's not going to be, like, the fastest round of golf because they're taking loads of videos or just enjoying themselves, but they still had, like, plenty of daylight to go. I mean, they could have gone out and played probably 5, 6, 7 holes more. I think that to me, tips it off. That's my favorite part of just being able to, like, in the summer, like, you can golf all the way to, like, 10 o'clock, 10:30 if it's possible.
Yeah, late sunset. The next category is best hat. We have Eric Anders Lang was wearing a Rolex visor. Stuart was wearing a navy blue bucket hat. Colt was wearing a solid red, like flat brim, unstructured hat. And then Stuart also bought this like white, like Payne Stewart type hat at St. Andrews. Do you guys have a vote?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Stuart's like white bonnet that he bought out of the shop. This one, I think it's just the epitome of like sort of old man Scottish life. You just kind of develop. I don't know what stage of life it hits you, but at some point you're just like, ah, that's me. I'm in the bonnet now, and that's where we're going.
Is that what you call it? A bonnet?
A bonnet.
A bonnet.
Bonnet.
Can you spell it?
Probably not. I think it'd be. No, I wouldn't want to hazard a guess at spelling it, but it's a bun, like bun it is where you like how it would sound out. So B-U-N and then like I-T, so but you kind of like quicken it up.
Yeah.
So it's like bun it. So it just like, and you nip the T at the end, so it's just bun it.
Bun it.
So it doesn't, you don't fully put like, so you don't fully like over exaggerate your vowels or any of the sounds. And to me, that's my vote. Just for the pure Scottishness of the hat.
Love it.
I got to agree with that because when they were in the shop looking at the insert sound clip bonnet of the hats, Colt was trying some of them on. He just looked absolutely ridiculous. And then I think he was about to buy like a navy blue one. And then Eric was like, oh no, how about the white? And the white was just like so over the top and flashy, but that's what he ended up going with. So I thought that was great.
Yep. Steve?
I don't know. I got really nothing to add. I'll go with
Steve's
with
a bucket hat kind of guy.
I'm honestly like, I've gone a long time like not wearing a hat, and then I got one at Sand Valley, so I'm like I'm using that one more now. I'm looking forward to using that, but I've always been a guy that hasn't worn a hat, or at least in the last like 5 years.
Like a Robert Rock.
Yeah, or the who's the guy from Georgia Tech, Jansen. Right? Yeah. So. I guess watching that video, that wasn't really something that like stuck out, but I guess
you still have to have a vote though.
I'll go with the bonnet. Yeah.
The bonnet.
Yeah.
Side question. Who here has a bucket hat?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I do not.
I do not.
Yeah. I feel like every golfer has to have at least one bucket hat or at least try it. You know what I mean?
Come on. Yeah. My vote would be Eric's Rolex visor.
It's pretty bougie.
It's pretty cool. And I feel like you only wear it kind of on certain days. And this gets into kind of the next category, which is best outfit. The options are: Eric has a shirt where he has pink flowers and matching pink pants. Stuart, I guess there's only two nominees. Stuart has a pink shirt with the gray pants. So which would you guys prefer? Would you ever wear an all pink outfit?
No.
No, to me that
you're
just
close, Andrew. You've got some days where have multiple pink things on.
I'm good for colors, but okay. The pink pants or pink trousers, if I'm at home and I see somebody in like full pink, it's either the Jack the Lad from the club or it's some American tourist that comes over and thinks that this is what I'm doing. They're making them stand out.
Because
that's the stereotype that you get. Like the tourists that come across.
Yeah.
It's always your loud, like brash, flashy Americans that are kind of just like, I'm playing here. And if I saw somebody in full pink get up, I'm like, probably a tourist.
Okay.
Yeah, I would never wear that ever. I'm very conservative in what I wear. Golfing, and it all kind of dates back to when I first watched Happy Gilmore, and he's where Shooter is, I think maybe receiving his trophy or paycheck outside one of those outside one of the clubs after he won a tournament, and they're having a conversation in the crowd, and they, you know, points out this guy wearing like a really crazy, like loud outfit, and yeah, so that kind of from then on, I try to keep it pretty conservative.
All right. And I think it has to do with, like, at the beginning we hear that they decide to wear pink because, like, it's going to be a big day. So that's, like, special outfit for a big day. Do you guys ever had, like, if you're going to play this awesome course, do you save an outfit for that? Or does it not matter?
Oh, yeah.
What's your big day outfit?
Well, I remember when, and we'll probably touch on this later, but when I went over to Scotland with my family, when I was a senior in high school, it was kind of like a graduation trip. And I remember, you know, planning out all my outfits for the three rounds of golf that we were going to play. And one of them had a pink shirt, and one of the outfits had some white pants. So, you know, just like you want to look clean, you want to look good, you want to look sharp. But I have not worn white pants since. I'm actually highly against white pants now. But I think you have to be comfortable. I'm more of like it's got to feel comfortable in order to help you feel good or look good.
All right.
Euro collar, yeah, that helps.
I'm with you on the white pants. Like, there's too much pressure putting on your white pants. Like, you have to be really good.
Yeah.
It's just an added pressure.
Like our high school uniform. We had to wear white pants at almost every tournament. And I'm just like, after that, I said I'm never wearing white pants again because I really wasn't that good back then either. It's just really embarrassing. Shoot 85 in a varsity tournament.
Yeah, you can't
pants.
You can't shoot anything higher than 75 in white pants.
Can't
do it. So, but planning out outfits, not really. I'd say I had a favorite shirt that's been retired just through constant use. It's about 6-7 years old, so it's kind of done. So I need to find one that kind of replaces it. But it's a light blue one with a high collar, and that was all high buttons. It had 5 or 6 buttons in it, so it was a lot of buttons. But that was me, and it wasn't
kind of like one of those Graham McDowell kind of like tall starched collars.
It was one of them. So that was my favorite with like gray trousers or like sort of like dark gray trousers. That was my outfit.
All right.
I mean, I have like 4 golf shirts to choose from, so I don't really, I mean, not including our company shirts, but I don't have a very big wardrobe like Andrew over here. So I tend to disagree that like he doesn't think too much about it because I think he does.
Oh.
But no, I only have a few to choose from. So.
All right. There you go. The final category is who won the episode. This can be defined however you want. And the nominees I have Eric, who was kind of the orchestrator of the whole thing. He made the video. Second, it's Stuart, the guy who, you know, got all the benefit and the surprises. Third nominee is Stuart's dad, kind of a big character, comes in at the end. Or then the fourth is Rob, the guy who got them the tee times.
Can it be a 4-way tie?
I don't know. There aren't really any. I haven't thought much beyond just asking the question.
Yeah. Gotta let this one sit a little bit. I think Stewart.
Stewart?
Yeah. This is a big day for him. I think he's the big winner, you know?
Yeah, we don't need to make this any more complicated than it already is. I mean, it's Stewart. I mean, he won the day. He got to play a historic golf course for the first time in his life, and he's from that area, right? So it's been something that he's always wanted to do. And then he was able to experience it with his dad. So I think, I don't know how you couldn't say he wasn't the winner.
It's a good point. I don't know. Who was the one? Maybe, I think they said earlier, they said at the beginning it was Colt's idea to like have him not play so they could bring Stewart's dad in. Like they decided at the last minute. So maybe it was, I tend to think it's one of the guys who like made this whole thing happen. I don't know. Yeah, Stewart didn't do anything.
The bit of the guy not playing, kind of like from knowing like how it goes, that's not really like, obviously because they're filming a video and they're big names, right, get away with it. But normally, if you're playing on a Lynx ticket, the person who has the Lynx ticket has to be part of the four ball.
Yeah.
So that bit kind of annoyed me a little bit that they just kind of.
Oh, he was. They both had a Lynx ticket guy in each group.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they had Rob was the one who played with Eric and Stewart and Stewart's dad, and then the other guys played with this guy named Ron from Phoenix, who actually like lives in St. Andrews and has a Lynx ticket. So the other three guys played with him.
Oh, so they got in.
So they all got in.
Well, then I would say the guys who had the tickets that offered up their spots.
Yeah.
To me, they win because they
made it all possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Without them, the episode would never have been an episode.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably a pretty cool experience for them too, because they had gotten in contact with Eric via Instagram and hadn't met him really before, but they were fans of the podcast and the show and Adventures in Golf. And so they got to play golf with some people that they are kind of fans of and enjoy a nice afternoon on the links.
Absolutely. All right, before we get into our own stories, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave the world with?
Just go watch the video.
Watch.
It's so good.
Yeah. It was just a very well-done video. All of his stuff, like just, I don't, does he actually, he's not actually producing and putting that stuff together, is he? Or probably maybe somebody else. But anyway, just the way he puts his videos together and how he kind of creates a story and the music he chooses, the views and all that stuff just that goes into it, probably takes a lot of time. And I just think they're very, very well done, and especially that one.
Yeah. So let's, then this, I guess the second part of this podcast is going to be talking about our own like stories. Jansen said earlier there's something about dads and golf that really pulls at your heartstrings. So anyone have a story to share? Who wants to go first? What memories do you guys have of your dad and playing golf?
I'll start. I just jotted down three that kind of came to mind of just some special moments and events that that I've gotten to share with my dad, and I think my twin brother has also been there for all of these, and I know you guys obviously don't have a twin brother, but I think having a twin bro is a really special thing too. That is another thing like I just can't explain, but he's my best friend too, and anything I can do with him is just as special as doing something with one of my parents or like a granddad or somebody like that. So. The first one I wrote down was my Scotland trip when I went, I think it was back in 2013. And we went on a big trip to England. We were there for a week, and then we took the train up to Scotland and got to play some golf. And we were in the lottery, to be able to play the old course. And so we found out in the dramatic fashion of like 24 hours in advance, that we'd gotten a tee time. And so, I remember my dad coming down. We were staying with some family friends and coming from the downstairs of their little loft kind of house and saying, "Boys, I got some good news." And I just kind of had a feeling because I knew the next day was the first day of golf. And he goes, "Guys, we won the lottery," and just like going nuts. And we couldn't really sleep that night because I knew that was a really, really big deal. My dad had orchestrated this huge big trip and making sure that we even got in the lottery and with the travel agent and all this stuff. That was really cool. And then obviously playing and teeing off and being able to play in a threesome with my brother and my dad at the old course is like, I mean, I'll always, always remember that. And my dad played like really, really well that day too, which was cool. He shot like one of his better rounds, I think, ever. And that was his first time playing Lynx golf too. And I think he shot 80, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's my first highlight was being able. We played Carnoustie the next day and Kings Barnes the second, but I felt like those were fantastic too, and that was fun. But the first day, just playing the old course, like I don't know, can't top that.
Can't top it. Andrew, what's your memory of your dad or family member getting? Yeah, how did you get into golf? I guess I don't really know.
I got into golf kind of later than we see some of our kids coming through. I sort of picked up at like 12. Never really kind of did it. Kind of started, and then my mom's like dad, my granddad, he like passed away, and I kind of inherited his clubs. So then that kind of really sparked, and
inherited his clubs.
Yeah, basically got his clubs because that was So that was good to get them. They were good. They were like, I was excited to get them when I got them, and it was good to get them. So that's kind of how I got into golf. I'd say like my like favorite like golf memory ever was playing. I played in the Amateur Championship Gold Medal, which is the oldest 72 hole stroke play tournament in the world. So I played in that in 2016, I think, and it was just the first day. And I was always used to do, it was always be Saturday, and it would be two rounds on the Saturday. You make the cut, you play two rounds on the Sunday. So it was always, it was a good event. It was a lot of golf. It was five rounds in 3 days because you got a practice round on Friday. I'd always used to go through on the Saturday with my mum, and she would be my caddy, but I'd never make her like carry the clubs. I'd carry the clubs, and she would just kind of be there. And she would just talk. We would just talk our way around, and just someone to take your mind off it. And leads into just like my favourite moment. You'll have known it because the gold medal's played at Leven, so you've obviously played Leven. Yeah. So I misjudged the first hole and three putt for bogey, which is not the ideal start, knowing the cut's going to be around one or two over for two rounds. So not the best of starts. So play the second hole, and I'm about 20 feet away for birdie on the second, and I roll it in. And my mom's standing back at the third tee box, and I just kind of pick the ball out of the hole and look. And mom just kind of gives me this little nod, just of like, there we go. And there's no word spoken. It was just, I can't recall any other sounds of when I looked back to see my mom at the top of the hill, and she would just stand there and just that little nod. And it was like, there we go, that's us back on track. And went on to make the cut and finish like 36th in the tournament. So that's my like favorite ever golf memory.
Ah. Love that.
Yeah, man. So you're like closer with your mom and golf than your dad?
In a way, my dad used to caddy. Dad just grew up in Fife, like around St. Andrews, and always had his ways of how we should play the golf. So we kind of butted heads when we went out, and if he caddied for me, he would always be like, I want you to hit this shot. Or at the time, his reasonings of what I should do were correct. I think maybe just the way he described them wasn't correct. Rather than on a par five that's like 250, and I'm wanting to go for it, to being a reckless golfer, I'm wanting to go for it. I'm like, I'm not playing well. Can they make a shot back here? And my dad's like, well, why don't you hit pitch and wedge, and you'd be on the green regulation. You're good with your wedges. You maybe hold a putt, but I couldn't. And I think that just kind of annoyed me. So we kind of, our styles of golf didn't kind of flow. So I've actually got another one about like my dad later on, that if we swing it back around.
All right, let's swing around. We'll swing around. We'll give everyone a chance first, and then we'll go around the horn again.
All right. Man, I don't know. I've got so many memories playing with my dad. I've played hundreds and hundreds of rounds with him. It's just like a unique thing playing golf with your dad, because it's one of those things where, like, where else do you get like a 4-hour experience, just you and your dad doing something, like maybe like a car ride to see a family member or like going to like a football game? But I just feel like the golf is just a little bit different, kind of separates itself. But one thing that sticks out is, and I actually wrote this story. So I used to work as a sports writer in Montana for a newspaper, and I wrote this story for Father's Day. It's really nothing special, but I remember going to Cog Hill for that tournament back in the day. And you know, my mom, my dad, we would all go. But I just remember my dad and I, we were standing on the range, We were watching David Toms hit, and he was hitting what looked to be like maybe a 5 or a 6 iron. And he must have been, we probably watched him for maybe a half hour, and he was just, he was probably aiming at a flag maybe 200 yards away. He was hitting it like every single shot, like within like 10 feet. And like just sitting there and like, or just standing there and like watching that. I don't know, just like being at a PGA Tour event and like seeing those guys like hit shots is like something special. And then just like that one particularly just really stands out. But then also like playing 54 holes, like in, you know, Northern Michigan, like sun up, sun down. Those are some really fun moments. And then like I made my first birdie with my dad, on the par 3 course at Winnetka, the 8th hole. Made my first eagle with my dad at the Bear in Traverse City. So, yeah, I mean, there's just too many to count, but those are a couple that stand out.
My memory comes from when I was really little. I was probably 8 or 9, and we went as a family to this golf course in northern Minnesota called Superior National. And I think it's the first time I really played, maybe probably the first time I played like a real course with my dad, not like a par 3 or something else. And I remember I had, I didn't have U.S. Kids clubs. I had Michael Jordan brand clubs. Like, he used to have those, I guess. They're way cooler than U.S. Kids. I wish they still had them. And we had, my brother and I each bought the hat that Stuart bought, the bunnet. and you wore them backwards for some reason. I don't know. The logo was on like the back. And so that was like the way you're supposed to wear. And I don't know. We were wearing that. And I just remember there was a par 3 and it was downhill and my dad hit like a pitching wedge and it just went like the normal height we would hit a pitching wedge, but I had never seen my dad hit one like that. And so the first time you're seeing it goes so high in the air and it like goes way, 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 way down. It was probably like a 50 yard downhill drop. So it was like in the air forever and just landed on the green. And like my brother and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. It's like we just saw like a superhero. And I don't know why that's the only thing that stood out to me, because if I saw it today, it wouldn't be that special, but it's something about like the first thing of like the wonder and amazement that I guess that golf can still bring from watching that. So, yeah, that's my memory.
I think there's something cool about when you're younger, or even like when we're now, like as old as we are now, but we see something new when it comes to like golf. Like if we were to go to a PGA Tour event, like those guys watching them hit the ball, like we would get that little kid feeling again of like, oh my God, look at that shot! Wow, I've never seen anything like it or heard contact like that before. And so like, I can think back too of like some of my coaches when, growing up or getting a lesson or, summer camps or whatever. And you see these people that are bigger and have played the game for a while and you see them hit these shots and you're like, oh my God, that's jaw dropping. Like, I can't wait to do that one day. And now we look back at it and like, oh, that guy, it's just, you know, it was just a stock pitching wedge, but it's like, it was so cool because he hit it to the moon back in the day.
Yeah, it's just more memories are kind of flooding back, but it's like I kind of appreciate like the interactions we have on the course, and like even if they're like sometimes like a pet peeve of mine. So like playing with my dad, like he's like my biggest supporter on the course. So like he'll like if I hit a great drive, like he'll just be like, if we're playing with like two other like random guys, he'll be like, oh, you know, he does this all the time, or like just stuff that like isn't true. I'm like, no, I don't, Dad. Like,
my dad does that too.
Like, stop building me up like this. He's a great player, like really, really good. I'm like, Dad, relax. But yeah, just I don't know what it is. And then like, sorry, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, just like little things like that. He's my biggest supporter. It always feels like I have like another kind of like a caddy out there, like helping me out with things. And so that's pretty fun.
One time we were playing with this random guy, my dad, I hit my first drive and the guy we're playing with said something like, oh, my dad goes, oh yeah, he's, you know, he's a golf professional. He coaches up in Chicago, blah, blah, blah. And I heard my dad say, he goes, you're in for a treat to watch him play today.
I was like, oh my God, that is so embarrassing. Like, I'm not that good. Like, but I was like, oh my God, my dad's like so proud. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah. And he would always like say, he says like great shot, like all the time to me. Yeah. And like, it kind of frustrates me a little bit when like I'll hit a pitching wedge to like 30 feet and I'll be like, great shot, Steve. And I'll be like, Dad, like, that's not a great shot. Like, let's have some higher standards. But like, when you take a step back and like, he's just always there supporting me. You know what I mean? So I can't get mad at that, you know?
So you guys are all talking about like great moments, like on the course with your dad. I've had one like real great moment, but I really want to talk about like the moments I share with my dad. They've always been after rounds. So the one I've had on the course was, I think I was like 15 year old, and I think I must have seen somebody hit on par threes with like shorter clubs without a tee, and I was like, you know what, I'm hitting without a tee. And my dad was always like, gotta use a tee, always use, if you get the opportunity to use a tee, use a tee. I understand that now, and I will always use a tee regardless on where I should go. But I'm playing like the seventh hole in my home course. It's not that long. It's like 140 yards uphill. And I was like, look, I'll show you. I can hit it without a tee. And I hit this ball. It comes at like the flat part of the toe. It was just one of the worst like iron shots I've hit. But it swings out. It swings, takes one bounce, and goes straight in the hole. So it was my first ever hole in one. My dad was there, but we'd argued about whether I should use a tee or not use a tee. And I didn't use a tee. And I turned to him. I was like, "Look, see, it works." And I was like, "But then I was like, realized that like, ah, oh, this came out like the flat part of the face. Like no grooves were hit on the shot, and that was like the first one. So, and it wasn't even like, it was more of a shock, and it wasn't like an extremely like celebratory mode, because I knew that I'd kind of annoyed him by hitting a shot when he was like, all right, I'm telling you what to do here. So that was kind of like the funniest one I've had like on a course. But my experiences with my dad have always been, as I said, we always used to kind of like clash on the course. And my mom used to take me on the Saturdays. We'd go through Mum and Caddy, and then my mom would go and visit her mum when she was kind of deteriorating in a home on Sundays. So my dad would drive me through to play. If I made the cut, we'd play 36 on the Sunday. But my dad's got like a really bad back, so we can't walk 36. So he'd maybe try to walk a couple of holes, and then he'll go to the car. And we don't play continuous 36, so you get like a 40-minute lunch break. So I'd always be able to go sit in the car with him. We'd eat our rolls. We'd chat about how the first round went. I'd go back out and do it. And like one of the fondest memories was we were playing London Links, which is the course across from Leaving. And the second round of the Sunday, he's in the car reading all this business magazines for his work. And the rain's coming in like sideways. It's awful conditions. And I managed to somehow shoot 2 under par. And he was like the happiest. He was like, wait, what? I told him I shot. And he was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah. So that was like those moments of like after rounds is more the memories I have of when he comes down and it's like, you've done, you played well and stuff. So that's to me where it was after we realized that we weren't good for each other and each other's like mental state on a golf course. We kind of like, our bond was then stronger after the rounds, because we could talk about it after it happened.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He's probably sitting in the car like, good Lord, I'm so glad I'm not out there right now. Yeah, and then you come in like soaking wet.
So he used to say he'd have negative energy, like he had negative. So I remember playing my club championship final, which was 36 hole match play, and my mum carried for me, and he came down at like the break, and it was all square. And he said he was going to walk, because he can only walk like 18 holes out his back, like really hurting him. And he got there and he was like, oh, no, I'm not coming out. Like, he's like, I'm not doing it. I was like, I've got too much. I'll put you off. And he might have done, but it was good to see him. Then he was waiting for the finish. And once I finished and won it, he was like so happy. And it was like on like Father's Day weekend, so I was able to like give him the trophy. And it's like, there you go, there's your Father's Day sort of present. So that was like a good one remind at the end there.
Oh. These are great. Should make videos. Should make our own videos. Be good.
I think just one quick thing to add. I know, like, and I'm, you know, partially, you know, somewhat this guy. So I guess it's kind of a little bit weird. But you know, a lot of people complain about like how long golf takes. You know, like, yeah. Oh, this is gonna take 5 hours or whatnot. Like, you're playing golf with your dad. Like, why let's make it 6 hours. Like, you know, like, what are we complaining about? Like, I get the thinking, maybe, you know, if you're playing alone or playing with some random people, that, like, you want to get done faster, but I don't know, like, some of the, like, those 4.5-5 hour rounds with your dad, like, those are some of the greatest experiences that you'll have in your life. So I think just, like, cherishing those and, you know, stop complaining about the small things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it just gives you something to do. How, like you were saying earlier, how often do you ever do one thing for 4 hours or 5 hours in a row? Especially now, like, people just have no attention spans, and it's like you can't, I don't know, there's nothing, yeah. People don't read books, like, you can refresh Instagram so many times.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, when I was playing, when we were playing 54 holes at Boyne Mountain, like, way back in the day, this is in northern Michigan, like, I didn't have a phone back then. Like, this was pre-high school, so, you know, 2000 probably. I didn't have a phone back then, and we were just out there, like, nobody on the course, just zooming around. And, like, to compare that to today, where, like, everybody's, like, checking their phone after every shot, like, it's just amazing how much things have changed. But, it's crazy how many memories you create with your dad on the golf course.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about why, or how, you know, where this comes from or what. Because I can't think of any other activity. I mean, maybe it's very specific because, like, I grew up, you know, playing golf and got into it. But even, like, playing golf with my wife, like, I'm happier when she hits a good shot than when I hit a good shot. And I don't know what that is. I'm not that doesn't necessarily carry over to that many other, you know, scenarios in our life. I don't know why golf has a tendency to bring these things out or to do it. I guess I'm just, like, Pete, what's it, Pete? One of our other podcasts, Pete said something about, like, golf is, like, can be, like, a window into other worlds of, you know, whatever that is. I don't know. I think maybe, I don't know if you, would you guys say you and your dad have, like, a very, oh, like, you guys can talk about anything with your dad? Because for me, I don't, it's not really that, like, we have a great relationship, but it's not, like, you know, if there's ever, like, something, like, serious to talk about, I'd my mom would be the person that I would talk about with that.
Yeah, I think I gotta lean on my brother to talk about, like anything. But, same thing. It's like I have a super close relationship with both my parents, but I gotta go with more of my brother with that. But it's like every time I pick up the phone and talk to my parents, or, you know, my mom will put it on speakerphone, and then my dad will just start talking about golf, just straight up, and then my mom will leave and come back on the speakerphone. But it's always something that you can relate to, and it's a good metaphor for a lot of things.
Yeah, I guess I'm getting it. It's like dads, I mean, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, dads aren't the best at, like, talking about emotions or feelings or any of those things, right? Do you agree?
Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah,
I think sports in general, you know, with a dad is, like, a good way to be able to just kind of connect about, like, life lessons and things like that, you know, where you know, you might go and grab lunch with your mom and be able to, you know, actually talk about some of these things or emotions, but your dad, it's like you got to go do something.
Yeah, it's like physical. Almost there's like a barrier there, and you need, like, to make a bridge somehow. And so some golf gives you that thing of a way of, because you experience all emotions, like joy, disappointment, failure, all these things. Andrew, you're talking, like, the argue, you know, all of those things, like, happen, you know, in real time when you're playing golf, and golf somehow has a way to bring those out in a way that other things, you know, basketball or football don't, or going to a movie, they don't do that same exact thing, because it's, like, it's physical, and it's real, and it's like something you can actually touch, and I think that's what makes it pretty special. Well, I think that's a good place to end. I think we covered it all. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
I'm just getting emotional over here. This is a pretty emotional episode. I was kind of afraid to say anything about my dad because I don't know if he's going to be listening. Yeah. So, but
I got to give a shout out to my dad. We call him the marksman. His name's Mark. So on the golf course, we call him the marksman. So shout out, marksman.
Yeah, what's your dad's? My dad's name's Bill. What's your guy's dad's name?
My dad's name's Ed.
My dad's name's Graham. But I was going to say that I come from, like, it's part of a unique thing of where my dad and mom both play golf. So it's kind of a little different because I can share. Like, I don't see many mums out there, like, playing golf. And my mum's, like, decent. I think the lowest she's ever held was a 13 handicap. So she was able to understand. So although we would just talk about absolute drivel on the golf course, just to take my mind away, she still understood, like, what was going on. It wasn't like she was just a mum that was just out walking. She knew what was happening.
She, like, competed and stuff.
She's competed,
herself.
Yeah. I think 2 years ago she broke 80 for the first time, so she was really happy with that. So she knows what she can handle herself on the golf course.
Wow. That's pretty cool. All right, well, shout out to all the parents out there.
Mom's name's Janice.
Mom, Janice. Oh.
We did the dad's names, but since mom's played golf.
Yeah, thanks, Janice.
Shout out Mary Shrek. She has 3 hole-in-ones.
Wow.
What?
I have 0.
My mom won a putt-putt game on a family vacation one time. We used to play putt-putt every time we went on a family vacation. She won 1 year. And me, my brother, my dad were furious. We're like, we're the golfers in the family. What the hell?
My mom tried to play golf, but it didn't really work out. So it's okay. All right. Well, this is as good a place as any to end, guys. Thanks a lot for being here. We'll talk to you all next time.
Come on.
Then you scratch it against it.
Nah, all right, Phil.
I'll take a drop. Yeah, there you go.
The rolled hole is not short on excitement here. You got a 15-footer for bird. Stewart's got an around the horn for bird. God, look at that.
Where are you, my brother?
Come on.
Where are you, my friend?
Oh, useful.
Played a beauty.
Useful shot.
He's played a beauty.
Wow.
Unfamiliar. I lost my way.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, on to 18.
Same thing on this one.
Can you hear me, brother? Through the rain and thunder, trying to get